From boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. The Srila Prabhupada often used this verse, of course, not just to explain that we are not the body, but also to establish that Krishna consciousness is a science. It's the science of God. He was in one time in South Africa. He was invited to speak at a university. And as he was trying to speak, a member of the Arya Samaj was trying to say that this is, oh, you're trying to bring up Hinduism. This is the Hindu beliefs. And Prabhupada, yeah, he started getting a little bit upset because they were like trying to rain on his, you know, on his program. And he brought up, he used this verse to show, you know, that this, a Krishna consciousness is a science. Is it only Hindus who change from boyhood to youth to old age? Muslims don't. Muslims always stay young. Christians, they never become old men. He pushed it. This is applicable. It's applicable to everybody. That's so. He used this as the foundation principle, as the foundation verse, that Krishna consciousness is a science. It's the science of God. All the other religions, if you can, you know, comparatively speaking, they're basically, they're very new and they're man-made. Whereas the Vedas, they're apurusheya. They come directly from God. They become from, as explained in the Upanishads, the Vedas, they emanate from the breathing of the Lord. So they are eternal. They're not, you know, they're not, they can come into being at a certain period of time. You know, like, with Christianity came after Christ. Islam came after Muhammad. But God is not a Muslim. God is not a Christian. God is not a Hindu. Even Hinduism. Hinduism is a modern term. You will not find that in the Vedas. Hinduism, and the word Hindu, comes from the Persian mistranslation, mispronunciation of the word Sindhu. They would call it Hindu, and everybody on the other side of that river, they were Hindus. Hindustan. But everybody on the side of the river, they were like the Jains, they were Buddhists, there were so many, you know, Gnostic, so many different groups, that they just clumped them together as being Hindus. So it's not a philosophical, it's not a, the real religion is Sanatan Dharma, the eternal religion, a Varnashram Dharma. That is the real religion. But to understand that we are not our body, this is the basis. If we can't understand that we're not our body, then the rest of the philosophy will not make sense. It doesn't make sense. Everything else is based upon this principle. We are not this body. In fact, and anybody seen that movie, The Matrix? Came out in 1999. It's by the Wachowski brothers. It just so happened that those boys, they were from Chicago, and their parents were staunch atheists. But being traditional American rebellious teenagers, they were reading in private, secretly, they were reading the Bhagavad Gita. They read the Bhagavad Gita and the Ramayana. That's where they got the main concept, plot line in that book, that you're not the body. This whole material world which we're seeing around us is illusory. They got it from the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, other parts, but that's the main thing. The whole idea. He even uses lines in that movie which, you know, like, didn't you ever wonder that there's something wrong with this world? Always use the old preaching lines. He must have been one of the lines that the devotee who sold him the book used. Yeah. But it's a fact. There's something wrong with this world. There's something very wrong with this world. There was one in Germany. There's been a spat of young men, young schoolboys, 15, 16 year old, taking pistols and shooting up, you know, killing 10, 15, 20 people, and then killing themselves. But one young man, though he shot about 15 or 16 people and even shot himself, he was seemed to be a little bit incompetent because nobody died. But they asked him, why did he do it? He said, because what is the point of life? You know, you go to school for 15 or 20 years and then you're put into the harness and you work until 70 and retire and die 5 years later. What's the point? What's the point of life? There's no, what's the purpose? Right? We work really hard and then the body just deteriorates. And everything that we did, everything that we do, goes with it. You know, you work really hard, you save all that, you get that big student loan, and you go to university, and you get that degree, and you get a house, and this and that, and work, and you die. What did you accomplish? What really did you accomplish? Of course, to get anywhere in the material, to get anywhere in life, either materially or spiritually, you have to be disciplined. You have to work. You have to focus your life, to focus all your energy. But like, you know, like those Olympic athletes. Recently, it was Olympics. There was Olympics recently, right? The Winter Olympics. What was it?
In Russia.
In Russia. Oh yeah, right. In Russia. The only place in the world that didn't have any snow. They had the Winter Olympics. So those athletes, they have to work really hard. And then they stand on the podium if they get the gold medal and they get their 15 minutes of fame. And that's it. Nobody here remembers what the name of the winners are. But they work very, very hard for that. But nobody remembers their names. So we also, you know, if we're going to put so much effort into something, we should have some eternal result. Right? We should have an eternal result. Otherwise, this just becomes insanity. Now, of course, while the whole idea of Vedic culture, Krishna's Vedic culture, is how to live in the material world with the objective of leaving the material world. Because we are stuck in this body. It's not like we can say, well, you know, it's because it's a prison. Actually, the material body is a prison. So we just can't like say, okay, I want to leave the prison now. You know, let me out. They're not going to do that at Kingston. You know, they're not going to just say, you know, well, I want to go home now. They're not going to open the door and let you go home. You have to serve your time. It's a correctional institution, right? Whether you get corrected or not, that's your option. Sometimes it's a revolving door. It's also a revolving door. It's called samsara. One life after the next life. So it's a correctional institution. How do I get some job? So we are working. So how to live in the material world with the idea of eventually leaving it. So the material body which we have has various demands. Various demands. For example, eating. We have to eat. So how to eat in such a way that it doesn't entangle us more, you know, by karma. You know, then we have to take another body, maybe not a human body, we may get some other type of body. So that's why Krishna has given us prasada. The other demands, for example, sexual demand is there. How to satisfy that demand without, again, getting more deeply entangled? Then we have vivaha samskara, and marriage. Animals are not getting married. Animals are not getting married. They're just, you know, they're engaging and they're getting in. And they're also not getting married. The only ones who are anxious to get married now are the homosexuals. They're very anxious to get married. Nobody else wants to get married. So the point is how to. So Vedic culture is, we have them, though we are not the body, we have one. How to get rid of it? We want to get rid of this body. But first we have to at least, we have to identify the problem that we do have one. And it goes through all these phases. So we, to deal with that, the whole philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita is that each body has, depending upon the psychophysical nature, has its different gunas. Sattva guna, Raja guna, like that. So each, then there's each body, therefore, that's where the whole idea of Varnashram comes in. So Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, he's teaching Arjuna how to use the propensities of his body in service to him. It's called a Daivi Varnashram. Everybody's got certain duties associated with the body. Each body has prescribed duties. And then, by fulfilling those prescribed duties, as service to Krishna, not just because the ordinary Varnashram is people just perform their prescribed duties. That's why Arjuna didn't want to do it. He was performing his dharma. He didn't want to perform his dharma because there's dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So that's the purusharthas. So he didn't want to perform his dharma because what's the artha? He kills all his family, and then what's the kama? What's the enjoyment? Everybody's dead. So he didn't want to perform his duty. So Krishna says, don't worry about that. You should not perform your duty for any, for your own pleasure. You don't perform your duty for your own sense gratification, artha and kama. He says, you just perform your duty for moksha. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakankshati. Then Mad Bhakti Labhate Param. Because if you're doing your duty without attachment, that puts you on the liberated platform. Then comes bhakti. So he's indicating we should perform our duty in a detached way, giving us moksha, and then we offer that to Krishna. Because therefore, the whole idea of the Bhagavad Gita is that Krishna is telling Arjuna, you perform your duty to please me. Not for any other reason. Not for artha, not for kama, but to become free from the bodily concept of life and to offer it to Krishna. That will give perfection. And Krishna explains in the 18th chapter this, by doing this, by performing your prescribed duties as an offering to Krishna, that is how everybody gets their perfection in life. Because not everybody, through chanting, if we just were to engage totally in bhakti yoga, that is the best process. The nine classes of bhakti yoga, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. These are the nine principles of bhakti yoga explained by Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto. So we can do that. But how many people are chanting the holy name 24 hours per day? How many? There are very few people doing that. So in between, what do? You have to get a job. We have so many other duties. So that is where Varnashram comes in. We have to engage the body according to, and then use that as an offering to Krishna. That's what it says in nine. Ya karoshi, ya dashnasi, ya jujoshi, dudasi, ya. Ya tapasyasi konteya, tat kurushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. There you go.
I think you might have to get
a curtain. A curtain. Blinding him. So the idea is that everything we do should be done as an offering to Krishna. But the Dharma, Krishna explains the Dharma so that we can, it's not that we just do everything according to our own idea. Krishna's got it all explained. He has got it already figured out in Varnashram how we should perform our duties. Because it's very difficult for somebody to just immediately, you know, just focus on pure bhakti yoga immediately. Srila Prabhupada had a godbrother, a Kinchana Krishnadas Babaji. I met him once. He always was chanting Hare Krishna, continuously. So when he first joined the Gaudiya Math, all the temple managers are complaining because he didn't want to do anything else. He wouldn't cut the potatoes, he wouldn't clean the floor, he wouldn't do anything. All he did was chant Hare Krishna. So the temple managers complained. They wrote a letter to Bhakti Siddhanta complaining about him. So Bhakti Siddhanta responded and said, "We want more men like him. You should put an all Gaudiya Math should put an ad in the local newspaper saying that we will give free room and board to anyone who will chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day." So they got a few, 3 or 4 people actually, you know, answered the advertisement. But they only lasted 2 or 3 weeks and they couldn't do it. So then they could understand that this person actually had a taste for chanting. Because he was doing it actually 24 hours a day, while he was even in his sleep, he was chanting. So chanting is not such an easy thing all the time. That's why there are other engagements are there to train us. Because to get off the bodily concept of life is not an easy thing. Not an easy thing at all. How long do you...
Until 8.
Okay. What time is it now?
7:30.
Okay. Maybe we can take some questions?
Sure, answer
on any topic, on anything? Do I understand most people who are new?
No, we have a couple of new guests, but most of us have been at the seminar for quite some time. Yes.
Okay, so anybody have any questions on any topic? On anything?
I'll ask a question about the astrology.
Okay.
Do devotees come to you looking for remedies? Do devotees come to you looking for astrological remedies and then request you to prescribe remedies in line with tantra?
Not just devotees. Half of my clients are devotees and half are not. But remedies I only do strictly Vaishnava. No tantra. Pancharatra is tantra, sattvic tantra. Nothing. It's all strictly Vaishnava. Totally only that. Nothing that Srila Prabhupada would disapprove of. Well, what did you mean by tantra?
Well, often in Vrindavan, you sometimes see devotees when they're really hankering over something. They try and employ the services of someone that can do some white tantra or some black tantra to obtain.
That's very unfortunate for them.
To obtain like a spouse or to.
Vashikarana. It's called Vashikarana. That's not. We want to attain the spouse, you just chant the mantra, the Kardama Muni chanted. Third canto, 21st verse, 21st chapter, verse 15. That's the mantra he chanted to gain a wife. Remember that one. 3:21:15.
Do you see devotees degrading themselves in that kind of getting
well, it's,
because generally, you know, historically, you know, people come to astrologers for the
Well, they went to the wrong astrologer. Because they go to a non-Vaishnava astrologer, then that's what will happen.
But do they come to you look to you to be a soothsayer and Brahman, all kinds of...
Say again now?
Do they come to you looking to be... for you to be, act as a soothsayer and actually look for you to kind of specifically grant them some kind of, you could say, means by which they could attain that benediction?
Yeah. The thing is, since we're using strictly Vaishnava methods, then Krishna's not obligated. His answer could be no. He said, you know, these methods... There are three kinds. Something you can do yourself, like some vrata, you know, extra fasting, or maybe chanting Narayana Kavacha, whatever it might be. There's a methodology to determine whether it should be. Or it could be some type of something you can't do by yourself, like a homa. You know, matsya homa, or a danvantari homa, or a Parashuram Homa or something like that. Then you have to get some expert in Pancharatrika to do it for you. Or a combination of both. But ultimately, you know, this is just a sort of a formalized method of praying to Krishna because a person is in a situation because they've had some karmic reaction. And they did something. That's why they're having this deficit now. So, this is an action they perform in order to neutralize what they did before and hopefully get a result. If Krishna accepts it, he's not obligated to accept it. It's not karma kanda. In karma kanda, they think simply by doing the action, that's good enough. God is he's obligated to give. You know, I paid my 50 cents to see the high diving act. I'm going to see the high diving act. You know, it's like there's no art. Krishna has, he's a bystander. He's obvious. That's not the way it works. If that's the mood of the person, you'll not get any result whatsoever.
One more question. How do you feel, what's your take on devotees, rather than applying faith in Krishna and waiting for being patient and accepting karma as it is, what's your take on them instead applying a lot of labor in drawing up natal charts and things like that, trying to study aspects in their chart and draw upon trends that would be coming in their life?
This is something different than remedial measures.
So, like, you know how you can draw aspects on a particular chart and try and study trends and see, okay, during this period, this particular planet will be here and this is good for whatever X.
Okay.
You see devotees sometimes put more attention to that sort of thing rather than just accept things as it is.
Well, that's not changing anything. I don't understand what the point that you're trying to make.
Is it not detrimental to them?
No, but I don't understand how it... If they're just seeing what is the trend, then how does that negate...
Because there's a hankering there. Sometimes you see that hankering is something, so they're trying to understand what can come their way. And then it starts affecting their job when you see them while they're chanting, they're thinking about acquiring this and that. Did you ever think that there could be some potential issue?
Anything can be misused. Anything can get misused, you know. That means they have some desire. Whether astrology is there, they have some desire, which they want. It's a material desire. Hare Krishna. Maharaj.
How are you?
It's after midnight for me.
What's that?
For me, it's after midnight.
Oh,
and I got up at 3 o'clock.
Oh, good.
Good. My body's on London time. They just have material desires, and it just happens to be that astrology is there. Whether astrology was there or not, it's still those material desires would be there. Yeah, they would be doing it in some other way. But the main thing is that they have material desires which they're trying to fulfill. Astrology just happens to be a conduit, maybe. Actually, astrology doesn't do anything. Astrology is not going to make it happen. It's a weather report. How is the weather going to make it happen for you? It's just the planets don't do anything, actually.
But then they try.
No, the planets don't do anything. The planets don't do anything. It's like a thermometer. You know, it's 16 degrees. You know, that's not, you know, does that mean that you should like light put a match under the thermometer so it goes up to 24 and then if the whole room feels warmer? The thermometer only tells you it doesn't make the temperature. Planets don't make it happen. They only tell you what's happening. You'll have a mistake, you know. It's like, you know, if it's too cold outside, you just do some sort of a puja to your thermometer and then everything will get warmer. Or if it's too hot, you do another puja and bring the temperature down. No, that's not how it happens. So if you, that's a very big misconception. We'll have a warmer winter next year because you'll do some puja to your thermometer. Did that answer your question? Maybe not.
No, it's interesting. I just wanted to understand, the
and also depends which astrologers they go to. Some astrologers, because they'll recommend something, and of course they'll do it themselves. They have a vested interest in recommending so many things because they make money by doing it.
Yeah, I guess in like today's context, most people they sort out astrology services simply for remedies. Like they want to attain that, and their devotees, they seem to, put more emphasis.
Dude, that's the main reason. I don't think so. Well, at least the ones who come to me, that's not. I only get a small percentage who are asking for remedies. Not a large percentage. Not like, not more than 10% or 20%.
Do you mainly just do like? Do you mainly specialize in Kundalini matching?
I know. I do everything. Everything. When you can go to my website, you can see. Everything. Natal charts. Prashna. I specialize in Prashna. All various aspects. Astrocartography.
Prashna is like Horary?
Yeah, in the West it's called Horary Astrology. The time question is asked. It's the best one for making strategic and tactical decisions. And a person doesn't have to know when they're born to do that. Astrocartography, all kinds of different things. We're a full service astrological. If they go to bad astrologers, if they go to non-devotee astrologers or devotees who, they don't do things strictly according to Vaishnava Dharma, then what can you do? I can't help. I can't stop.
It's a danger when devotees start not trusting Krishna to do the best for them, and they start searching and sorting out.
If you do demigod worship, it destroys your bhakti. It's destructive to bhakti.
A related question: how relevant is astrology or astrological prognosis for a devotee, for a Vaishnava, given that devotees chant and their karma changes significantly?
That's two different points. You said their karma changes significantly, and the first point is you don't need astrology for devotional service.
Sorry?
You don't need astrology for your spiritual life. It's like you don't need doctors for your spiritual life. You don't need clothes for your spiritual life. You don't need a car for your spiritual life. Or a house. You don't need any of those things for your spiritual life. But in this world, we may find them useful. But they're not necessary. And the second part you said, what was the part you said about karma? Changes your karma?
When devotees chant.
Yeah.
And do devotional service, it burns karma.
Which so karma gets burnt?
Whatever devotees accumulated in their past lives so far, that karma changes.
Karma is divided into two categories. Sanchinta karma and Kriyamana karma. Sanchinta karma is the sum total of all past karma. And Kriyamana karma is newly created karma. So, but now use that finger. Sanchinta karma is divided, the sum total of past karma is divided into two categories. Arabdha and Prarabdha. Arabdha karma is, I'll say this. If you go to the Lake Ontario with a glass, and you put the glass into the water, what's in the glass is the Prarabdha karma, and with the rest of Lake Ontario is the Arabdha karma. The Prarabdha karma is what's been put into motion. It's no longer potential, it's been put into action. And you can, if you take a mirror, you will see your Prarabdha karma. Your body, what you have right now. Okay? So by performing, Bala Vidya Bhushan explains in the Vedanta Sutra commentary, Govinda Bhasha, that by the karma which is destroyed, like wood turned into ashes by the action of fire, is your Arabdha karma. That's all destroyed. But not the Prarabdha karma. Prarabdha bhakti can destroy Prarabdha karma, but it doesn't. Krishna doesn't allow it to happen, because if it were to happen, and as soon as a person attains Brahma Vidya, his body would fall off, otherwise known as dying. Your body would fall off as soon as you achieve knowledge. You would just die. That means at the time of initiation, all the karma goes up, right, to your guru and the guru parampara. That means everybody in the Yajna Kunda dies. So who's going to be there'll be nobody to teach Brahma Vidya, because immediately as soon as they get it, they die. They leave their body because the karma gets destroyed. So Krishna is a very practical person. It doesn't happen. They're very realized. They become a jivan mukta. They're described in the third canto, Kapila Dev. Meditating upon the Paramatma in the heart, it describes there that just as a person who's intoxicated in alcohol is not aware of whether or not they're wearing clothing, such a God-intoxicated person is not aware of whether or not they are wearing a body. At which point, Krishna takes charge of that body until the destined activities of that body are completed. So this is sort of like when I was being driven back from the airport. So if the driver falls asleep, I would have to grab the steering wheel. So that's what Krishna is doing. He's grabbing the steering wheel because the devotee is no longer even aware of whether he's got a body. He's completely intoxicated with love of God. But that body stays there. I mean, it continues on even maybe more than one lifetime. Could be 10,000 lifetimes. What does it? But to that devotee, it doesn't matter because he's not even aware of whether or not he's got a body. That's a part of the karma. Until in that purport, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the fan. See, we have a fan over here. In England, they didn't have fans. But here we have fans. I guess it gets hot enough here that they have to use your fan. So, you know, not in London. So when you turn the fan on and, you know, it starts spinning, and if you turn it off, does it just come to a screeching halt? No. The fan keeps turning. That's the parabdha karma. Until it stops. Now as long as you don't turn the switch back on, kriyamana karma, it won't, that'll just stop. Because kriyamana karma is the newly created karma. Things aren't always from the past. New things get created. Otherwise, yeah, sometimes I get a lot of these, you know, emails, you know, oh, I met this girl, or I met this boy, whatever. And it's like we were soulmates from a past lifetime. You may have heard of something like this before? I get it all the time. We're like from a past lifetime. Well, why does it have to be from a past lifetime? In the past lifetime, you probably felt the same way. Therefore, it never becomes the first time. The fallacy of the infinite regress. No, things do happen for the first time. Yeah. All the time it's happening. You know, it's called kriyamana karma. Your free will.
It's called what?
It's called kriyamana karma. Newly created karma. Think of that always from the past. But to a pure devotee, those things, they don't cling to him. They don't cling. And the parabdha karma is, Bhaktivedanta Bhushan describes it just like, you ever had that experience when you light, like you burn a newspaper? You totally burn it, but you can still read it. You can still see the images, the paper, because you have it, it's still soft, but as soon as you touch it, it just crumbles. It turns, you ever had that experience? Yeah. That's what the parabdha karma is like of a pure devotee. It appears to be there. It's like a burnt newspaper. You can still read the words, but as soon as you touch it, it just turns to dust. That's the example of Bhagavad Gita Bhushan gives. So it's not that, because otherwise your body would just fall off. So Krishna is a genius. He doesn't let the bhakti destroy the parabdha karma. Otherwise, things just wouldn't happen anymore. There would be no more preaching. Like that. Does that answer your question for you?
Sort of. I still have more questions, but it's like a discussion going on, but yeah. I'm not sure if we have time for that.
Okay, there's also a verse in the sixth canto. I read it a little while ago. How a pure devotee, they may have to take, because of their parabdha karma, they may have to take birth many times. So they're totally on the liberated platform, just because that parabdha karma is not completed yet. And to them, their life is just like a dream state, because they're totally in the they're into the spiritual realm. Almost like there are instances in the lives of the Goswamis where they were, you know, their bodies are there, but they're actually serving in the spiritual world. There's one case where I think it was Raghunath Das Goswami, the one who only drank one tablespoon of buttermilk every second day. So one day he was in his siddha swarup, in the spiritual world, there was a party was going on, and he ate a lot of sweet rice and he got a sore stomach. And then the next day, in his Goswami body, he was sick. Very sick. They called the Ayurvedic doctor, says he ate too much milk products. He's sick from eating too much milk products. But he only ate, he's only eating one tablespoon of buttermilk every second day. But in something like that, it this like when you you go into the Brahmacharya ashram, but you're sleeping, you see the bodies, but where are they? Where is their consciousness? They're dreaming some day. They could be, they're in a totally different world. You're only seeing the body. You don't see where their consciousness is. They're dreaming something else. Totally. What to speak of somebody who's a Nitya Siddha or a Jivan Mukta there. You're seeing the body, but you don't see where their consciousness is. More discussion?
If we have time, I don't know.
Go ahead. Until they tell me to stop.
Until she
goes like this, I kid.
When the conch shell blows.
When the conch shell blows. When the fat lady sings, I kid.
So which type of karma is then burned by devotional service?
Arabdha karma.
Aparabdha?
Arabdha. Krishna describes that this like wood is turned into ashes by the action of fire. That's the most. This is Arabdha is only the glass. Lake Ontario is the Arabdha.
In terms of astrological prognosis of the future of a person, is that the Arabdha or Arabdha karma?
That's Arabdha karma.
Arabdha.
It has to do with your current body.
Okay, so by devotional service, the future, what's going to happen in life with the person, like if he was destined to get in an accident, he will. It's not going to change by his devotional service in any way.
Like you have free will. Everybody has free will. Even non-devotees have free will. It's because the birth chart is based upon the time of birth, whereas Prashna is based upon the current count. Prashna is based upon the time of the current question, so that takes when you go to your bank balance, right? You get your current account, whether it is today, not your monthly statement, or whether it is today. That's what Prashna takes into account. Everything's happening. Yes, Mataji.
Which
one? That's the tea.
He has created all the. Like the astrological charts.
Oh, Bhrigu Rishi?
Bhrigu Muni?
What about Bhrigu Rishi?
Yeah, one of
the. That's a Bhrigu Samhita.
And it's somewhere in India, isn't it? Doesn't everybody in the Kali Yuga have their own chart?
And he only did the charts for the people who are going to consult him, not for the ones who are not going to consult him. Why would he do charts for people who are not going to consult him? He only made the charge for those who were going to consult.
I was under the impression that like Bhrigu Muni had to make charts for everyone in the Kali Yuga.
No, he only made the charge for the people who were going to consult him. Why should he make charge for people who are not going to come? He also knows who's going to come. He also knew who would be coming, so those charts are made, not for the ones who are not going to be coming. Why would you do that? he knows who's going to be coming.
Well,
so he makes charts for those persons, not for the ones who didn't come.
Everyone is going to come to Krishna consciousness at some point in time.
That's another thing. That's Krishna consciousness. Astrology is something different. He knows who's going to be coming. So those charts are those for those persons, not for people who...
What? Can we have access to our charts? Somewhere in India?
Yes, you'd have to go. But there's a lot of cheating going on now.
Yeah, but
tremendous cheating is going on.
Recommended, trusted sources from Krishna consciousness, not from...
Well, the thing is that there's a lot of cheating that goes on. You have to be very, very careful.
What do you advise chanting Krishna? What do you advise chanting Krishna? What do you advise?
Oh, yes, definitely chant Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. It's
Vaishnava Prabhu. Thank you. Very nice. A lot of cheating going on.